This podcast replay is brought to you by baptisthealth.net/ortho. Do you have an injury that's keeping you from doing what you love? Take charge of your health and get back in the game with the help of the all-pro staff at Baptist Health Orthopedic Care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information.
At hour number two, Jeremy Dorsett, love you. You know I love you. I love the fact that you're very committed to our show. But let's go with accuracy, okay? You put Ray Sosa, Big O suggested Jorge Mas to buy QAM. No, I didn't. Jeremy, you have this hard on with local radio. Radio's dead, bro. I went to work for Jorge Mas and I wanted to create on-site radio. Because the future is digital. I told Jorge Mas not to be involved in radio. Okay? And look now, they went back to radio. Were they on radio this weekend or did they get bitch slapped to another station? Because they're the redheaded stepchild. And I told them that would happen. They weren't on QAM because they're never going to be on QAM ahead of the Canes, ahead of the Dolphins, ahead of the Heat. They're not. And so I told them never go to radio. I told them, create your own signal because everything is digital. Everybody in your stadium has a phone. They can have headsets. Everybody has a smartphone, a smart car, a smart TV. You don't need radio signals anymore. You have this hard on with radio. Radio is dead. No one should buy a radio station. No one should be involved in radio. People shouldn't even be listening to radio anymore. It is archaic to sit there for an 8-minute commercial break. It's stupid. So I never said to buy radio. I left radio on purpose. Okay? Like, I knew what would get me fired. So I could get the hell out and do this. Because I know where we're going. So I would never say Jorge Mas by a station. You know what I mean? So don't tell Ray Sosa, who's a very cool dude and a committed guy to this show, don't feed him misinformation and don't say, I said it. Because if anybody's been telling you that radio's dead for years, it's moi. Because I back up my shit by leaving radio and coming to this. Okay? So, I actually think it's incredibly stupid what Jorge Mas and Inter Miami are doing, actually being on radio instead of continuing what I tried to build for them, but they don't want to spend the money to really establish it. But they only want to spend money on players. They don't really spend money on the production and all the other stuff. So, I tried to reach them. But they couldn't be reached. They didn't understand. They're still thinking backwards when it comes to that. But every team, Dolphins, everyone should be off radio. To be quite honest, the Dolphins should create their own signal already. They should be all in-house, and it should be all on they can put it on TuneIn Radio. I got on-site on a whole bunch of platforms. You didn't need anything else, to be quite honest. You know, I still can build a full digital station if actually there was a real owner and we'd kick QAM's ass and we'd wipe them completely off the map and there wouldn't be another sports station left in town. If you do it on the digital end, every car can listen to you one way or another from now on. Everybody's got a smart car, smartphone, smart TV. And if they don't by now, they're really not your client anyways. They're not going to buy anything that you have commercials for by this time. You know what I mean? So please don't misinform people that I would say and direct anybody to radio because that makes no sense whatsoever. Okay? None. Nada. And I don't know what your hard-on is with radio. Let it go. It's dead. That's it. Anyway, MLB has done a tremendous injustice to the Florida teams with their owners. We need Elon Musk to buy the Marlins. Okay. All right. Big O, hear me out. Only two power plays given in the last two games for the Panthers. Felt like we were playing Tampa Bay, and the refs on the other night still fought to make it a game. I know. It's pretty good. You're talking crazy about the Heat. Now, I disagree with both of you with this. Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know what you're talking about. They're in no investment worth it for QAM, especially. No, you don't buy radio anymore, dude. You don't buy a radio station. You don't do any. You stay away from radio, bro. People aren't listening to radio anymore. They're gravitating away from radio. Old farts are the ones left listening to radio. The people that can't even figure out how to work a smartphone. Those are pretty much the people that are left listening to radio. Just not listening to radio anymore. They're going to podcasts. They're listening to digital shows. It's just the way it is. Nobody sits there and listens to commercial breaks. And if anything, they'll go listen to the podcast of the radio show instead. Big O would like for the Fins to sign a decent DT when the money from Howard kicks in June 1st. DT is the biggest weakness remaining on the roster. Well, we'll see. I don't think there's any real big, there's no DTs that are going to make a real difference at this point in time left, you know? So I don't think that that's, you're going to use some of that money for Tua, actually. If I'm 100% right, Jeremy, so then drop the radio shit already, bro. Drop worrying about 640 and 940 and 610 and 560 and all. They're all dead. They're all on life support. Nobody's buying. Nobody's doing anything with radio anymore. And if you are, you're an idiot if you're moving into radio. I'm left wondering, why didn't the Dolphins bring Frank Gore Jr. if he's bound to develop into the old man? How do you know he is? Did Ray Lewis Jr. turn into Ray Lewis? Did Alonzo Highsmith Jr. turn into Alonzo Highsmith? I must have missed all of that. How'd Pete Rose's kid do? How'd Ted Williams' kid do? How'd Michael Jordan's kid do? In fact, there's a 98% chance that they all fail, dude. None of them live up to their dads. Come close. The Ken Griffey Juniors are the rarity, my man. That's not the norm. What are you talking about? If anything, never take a legacy player. Unless his name Manning. Legacy players suck. Like, almost all the time they suck. There's like very few that are actually any good. It's such a small percentage. Almost all of them are failures, or they're just people are doing favors, giving them jobs or giving them scholarships or whatever. But legacy players, come on, dude, that's funny as hell. Anyway, on the radio, there's a lot of nonsense. Well, again, they don't really work. They're not breaking any news. They're not really unearthing anything. They're not trying, dude. Just collecting a check, doing 8 minutes and 8 minute breaks. You know? It's, come on, man. Let me see. Miles Deep. Hey, does anyone know, since Xavier Howard got cleared, if he's willing to take a pay cut? Miles Deep, he's taking a pay cut. Whether he likes it or not, he's taking a major pay cut. He's still out there. X is a shell of what he used to be, dude. You don't sign X now thinking that he's going to save your ass for anything. He's a backup now. That's how bad it was for us last year. The Dolphins had a backup corner playing. Okay? Maybe some of our media members don't realize that, but come on, bro. X is nothing. I don't want X. Move on, bro. Enough already. Big O saw the movie Challengers over the weekend. What a movie. So good. Such a mental movie. Soundtrack is very good as well. Challengers. I don't know what it's about. Oh, thoughts on what happened in Atlanta with them taking Penix? Planning ahead? They must love the hell out of Penix. Because, Sean was laughing because he said, well, he could sit for the next 4 years. And which is like stupid. Like, really? He's going to sit no more than 2 years. They got to play him in the third year. They got to start finding out what they have in him before they can repay him. He's not going to sit for 4 years and then you're going to re-sign him. What are you going to do? Just tag him and then pay him that much money when you haven't played him? That's so stupid. The people in Atlanta they planned ahead. In other words, Kirk will be there 2 years and then they'll play Penix in the third year. They have to. That's all. That's their problem, dude. I don't really care. I'm not a Falcons fan. Remember, you can support the show many ways. Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show. That is Cash Big O Show, Cash App or Venmo. And you can also send us a Bitcoin donation. Ho Yoon, thank you, sir. Says, have a great week. Panthers close it out tonight. I agree. Big time. Big time. They close it out tonight. Thank you, Ho Yoon. I appreciate you, my man. Very kind of you, as always, making a donation to the show. Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show. That is Cash Big O Show, Cash App or Venmo. And listen to our coverage of the draft. We have a lot of stuff there for you. What else? Very hard for sons and daughters to surpass their parents in sports. But in acting, a few surpass their parents. Need to think, but there are a few. Acting, I'm sure there's a few. But in sports, it's rare, man. There's just very few that come out and are special, you know, like that. Do we need a tight end? No, they got Jonnu Smith, sir. So they're going to go with Jonnu Smith. Plus, they've got a couple of other guys that they're kind of experimenting with. All right, so let me get to some of the stuff that's gone on overall over the weekend. I love the draft. To me, the draft made a lot of sense, okay? It filled needs. You wanted pass rushers because you've got Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb coming back from injuries. You went and got Chop, and I love the Kamara kid. 30 and a half sacks is not something that's a joke. I don't give a shit what level of football it is. Okay. I don't care what conference you play in. 30 and a half sacks is, and the guy had like 45 tackles for losses in his career. I really like what they did there. And then you planned ahead with Patrick Paul. You know that Teron is gone at the end of the year. So now you're set up for the present. You've got Austin and Teron, and you've got Kendall Lamb and Keon. So you've got your backups, your rotation, your rotational tackle, along with your two starters. Plus, you have your fifth tackle in Paul that is then being groomed to maybe assist a little bit this year, but hopefully become either a starter or the key swing guy or something, because if Keon continues to advance, then he might be the guy next year. You never know. He played well when he filled in for, you know, it was a short time, but he did do well. Jalen Wright makes all the sense. Look, you hit last year on your third round pick in a Chan. So you use another third round pick. Even though he was picked in the fourth, you used one of your thirds next year, their third, because they're going to get two more compensatory, but you can't trade the compensatories. You can only trade yours ahead of time, which is what they did. They traded their third round pick, which they're counting on it being a late third round pick if you have a good year. Jalen Wright Now, remember, you had Mostert and you had Achan injured by the end of the year. Now you got Jalen Wright. Now you got a three-headed monster. All three have the same skill set. You can rotate, keep everybody fresher, and you're Mike McDaniel. I can run the same offense with Jalen Wright that I do with Achan and Mostert. I cannot do it with Jeff Wilson and Chris Brooks. They are completely different running backs. So there's a good chance that if the top three guys are healthy, Brooks will be your fourth. I don't know if they'll keep a fifth this year. I'm not exactly sure now because of some of the other additions that you've made at pass rush. Because you have extra pass rushers, you may have to keep one. So those kind of things. Wide receiver, that's coming up, that conversation. So then last year, you were happy, I'm sure, with Hill and Waddle. They still have to get better with clutch catches. They have to stop dropping some of those. But overall, Hill and Waddle were awesome. But that third receiver was a problem, right? So you brought back Braxton Berrios, okay? You didn't work well with Cedric. You didn't figure out Claypool. You didn't figure out how to use Gesicki, whatever. So now you're going to use Jonnu because he's got speed and he fits what you do. Fine. But at slot receiver, you went and drafted Malik Washington out of Virginia. Tough ass kid. Slot guy. Taj Washington. Another slot guy you got from USC. Then in street free agency, you sign Matthew Sexton, who's 5'10 out of Eastern Michigan, and Jaquan Burton, who's 5'9 out of FAU. You've got four slot receivers along with Berrios. There is going to be a battle at that spot. Like we have, I'm so intrigued by it because they clearly said, F this, we're addressing this. And we're solving this now. So this is going to be an absolute cool battle. Craycraft, I think, is in because Craycraft does everything. And he's exceptional at blocking and special teams and all that. So for me, Craycraft has already made the team. So you've got those three making the team. And then you figure out where is Ezukama and where are your slot receivers. Because I think it'll be Berrios and Malik, Berrios, and Taj. Or Malik and Taj and no Berrios. I doubt that. But there's going to be... And then will Matthew Sexton or Jaquan Burton surprise us? Because as you all know, I don't have to tell you guys, the Dolphins have become very Heat-like now that we now watch the Summer League because we know there's going to be somebody. Somebody. That what's the guy's name? Adonis or whatever the hell, the other guy they got now. Like, I can't wait to see his ass now in the Summer League next year. Like, I'm already looking forward to that just because that's the new guy that they found. Plus, there'll be another guy or some shit. You know what I'm saying? So they're doing that too now. You know that there's going to be one of these undrafted cats that I'm talking about that is going to be a playmaker for them. I don't know how, but they're going to show up. It happens. So the battle for slot is going to be actually fun. Then you drafted Patrick McMorris, which, by the way, they have this thing for safeties in the West Coast. If you've noticed, this new staff here the last couple of years, I don't know what it is, but they kind of find safeties out in the West Coast a bunch. And Patrick McMorris is no different. And then they also sign Mark Perry from TCU, 6'2", 213. And Jordan Colbert from Rhode Island, 6'2", 214. Okay, so along with McMorris, these are guys that are going to be playing more strong safety. So they're going to be, you know, remember they're going to try to find that third safety. So along with Elijah Campbell and everybody else on the roster, they got to try to figure this out. They added Storm Duck, great name out of Louisville. That corner, we'll see how good he is. They also added a tackle in Byron Matos. That's the project guy that's 6'9", 290, 23 years old. And then Matthew Torres, the guard center from Ohio State, who's 6'3", 316. And Andrew Meyer, who's an offensive guard center, who's 6'3", 295 out of UTEP. So they added multiple linemen and tackles. They add, so to add to the depth there and the battle. So these are things that you want to look at, because one of these guys is going to come through. I don't know who it is, but it's going to happen. And like I told you, like at wide receiver, Waddle and Hill and Craycraft. And then what happens between Berrios, Ezukama, Sanders, Washington, and then you've got Sexton and Burton. So interesting how the battle for the slot is going to be pretty cool, because they clearly are sending a message. We need to solve this problem. We need to have somebody that we can count on working the middle of the field. Now, the other thing I will tell you, I don't think Odell is out at all, because by loading up on the slot, Odell's not a slot. Odell's the outside guy. So you're going to sign him to be more of a fill-in for Waddle and Hill on the outside. And when you want to get all three on the field, Waddle will be the one that goes inside, because Waddle is better than Hill and definitely Odell inside as a slot guy. Because Waddle brings that toughness. He has a little bit of that physicality. He did it his first year. Did a lot of it in his first year. So that's what I think is happening, you know, overall, when I start to look at some of the undrafted and kind of the breakdown on what we're going to see in mini camps, training camps, moving forward over the next couple of months. Plus, I'm sure there'll be some others that will be added to the mix, and then we'll find out. Okay. So there's my 2 cents on a lot of the stuff that went on over the last couple of days, filling out the roster. Yes, Lamb is gone after this year. That's why Keon and Paul are so important, because you want one of them to be the starter. As I've said, I think Austin goes to left tackle, and Paul and Keon fight for right tackle. That's what I think happens, because I think Austin Jackson gets another year and confidence goes through the roof, and then, you know, and he's more than athletic enough to play left tackle. And he's better suited now than he was when he was young and he got here. And he was really young, by the way. He was a younger draft pick than normal, as it is. That's the other thing that people don't realize about Austin Jackson. He's still really young, actually. He's a 4-year veteran that's actually really young, which is pretty cool for us as Dolphin fans. So that's why the whole Paul thing is so important, because he has a year to learn the system, get taught by these guys, all that stuff. So then you can prepare him for next year. You're hoping this year he never plays. You're hoping that Lamb and Keon, if anybody plays, it's those guys that play because they have the experience. That's a perfect world right now. Okay. Big O, I see all these speedster draft picks at the end of Tyreek Hill's next year. Thoughts? And they'll have all their picks next year, so they'll draft another receiver next year. Tyreek is gone at the end of the year. If Tyreek is smart, he's quiet, he's a really good soldier, he's an exceptional teammate all year, he plays the best football he's ever played, not just yards and all, I'm talking about football. Be the best player that you've been and prepare yourself for life after the Dolphins, because if you make it difficult on yourself and the team this year, you're only going to make it more difficult on yourself in free agency next year. And I hope he's smart enough. I hope his agent, I know his agent is going to be smart enough. Forgot who his agent is, but I'm sure his agent's smart enough to figure out, dude, this is your last year. They're going to let you go. So you need to be at your best behavior so we can get you a contract with somebody else next year. They are moving on. Okay? He cannot be reached. It's over. That's just the way it is. They tried and they're done. They're done. Okay? I still have hope for Ezukama. I have more hope now for Ezukama than I ever have. They didn't go out and get a big receiver. That tells me something positive must be going on behind the scenes, or he just doesn't give a shit about big receivers. And it's just not, it's never going to be important to him. And he's hard-headed and that's it. So what can I tell you? Okay. Great to see an FAU player stay in South Florida. Hopefully he makes the roster. We'll see. Big O, I see Tyreek Hill probably going to an NFC team. I don't know. I don't know where he'll go. I know he won't be here in Miami next year, and he won't be in, what's it called, Kansas City. That I can guarantee you he won't be in any of those two places. You think the Heat will get the upset tonight? No, I don't, actually. I think the Heat get eliminated in the next two games. I think they got their win, and I think the Celtics got their wake-up call. Like I told you, they go watch the first game. They got bored in the second half of that game, and it rolled over into the second game, and they paid the price. And then the third game, they said, no, we're not doing this. And so I expect the same Celtic team that came out in game three to come out in game four. Unless Miami can somehow match it and shoot lights out again, which I don't expect them to do that because that's just not who really they are, especially without a bunch of their best players. I'm not buying it, dude. I know it's better to play the homer game and all that with you guys because you can't lose, right? You know what I'm saying? You can't lose if you pick the Heat. Because then it's just like the homer thing. But that's just not, I don't do this for shtick. You know what I mean? I just call it like I see. If I think they're going to win, I think the Panthers are going to win tonight. I really believe the Panthers are going to win tonight. I think the Panthers are going to come out on fire. I think they're going to be really intense, but they're super talented. They're loaded with stars. So that's the difference. The Heat, just happy to be here, basically, at this point. Big O, do you believe Chop will start? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Let's see what else. Big O, there was a pork chop, Kool-Aid, and now Storm Duck. What the F are parents doing? Yeah. They're getting creative with their names. Any news on Rozier? He's out. So, and pretty much it's the rest of the playoffs. By the way, it'll be nice to get Rozier back. They're still losing the series. Okay. All right. They're still losing the series. Trade Hill instead of losing him for nothing. Nobody's going to trade for him, bro. Nobody's going to trade for him. It's too much of a salary, and everybody knows you're going to release him at the end of next year because there's no reason to keep him at this point. So why are you going to give up a draft pick at this point? It's pretty obvious they're going to let him go next year, at least for me. Then again, it was obvious for me that they were letting go Wilkins, and I kept hearing and seeing people write that, no, they have to tag him. No, they'll keep him. I saw plenty of people reassuring fans that Christian Wilkins will be back. So what can I tell you, it's sad. Now I see Jimmy on the Heat now, and I feel like turning the channel, watching the Panthers. Yeah, because Jimmy's act has gotten old, and it only saves him in the postseason. And since he couldn't come through this year, it's like, well, you see, and that's where fans are right now with him. Did I miss something? Did Hill do something for the team not wanting him next year? I don't know. Break the leg of a Instagram model. Not sure. Assault a guy at a dock and get lucky that he didn't really get charged. Right? I mean, the fire at his house, not a big deal. Right? The fact that he didn't show up in either one of the Kansas City games after talking all that shit, that he was going to be a disaster, gave away the first Kansas City game all by his lonesome. And the second Kansas City game, one of the corners got him and treated him like he was a rag doll. Right? I'm missing something else. There was another incident that I'm missing. There's one more incident with Tyreek. So, yeah.
The divorce?
Which one?
The divorce that wasn't a divorce?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the guy that files a divorce and then says, hey, who did that? And who knows what else has gone on behind the scenes in that building. He cannot be controlled. He talks a lot of shit about, you know, I got to straighten myself out and this and that, and he never does. And so you're playing with fire and you haven't gotten burned completely yet. And I think they want to get out before they completely get burned. And oh, and by the way, one more thing, they needed money to sign everybody and make their moves. And they got money from everywhere except Tyreek. The message has been sent. He cannot be reached. They've tried. It's over. They won't tell you that. Just like they're not going to tell you that Wilkins was never coming back. But, you know. Oh, no. And no, the door is always open for Christian and X. And, you know, that's what they'll tell you publicly. Not going to tell you exactly what they're thinking privately. I will. I'll tell you what they're thinking. So, you know, that's what's going on. So if, I don't know. I guess you never listened to this show. That's what I love that part. That part from that guy. Where was it? Where was that? Have I missed? There it is. David Carson. Did I miss something? Did he'll do something for the team not wanting him next year? David Carson does not listen to this show often. I can tell, right? Because I've been talking about that. Hill's been gone for a couple weeks now, right? I don't know, month? Has it been like a month now? Has it been over a month? Yeah, it's been over a month, Sean says. And we've talked, we've addressed it several times. And I told people he's gone. So, you know. It's like the guy shows up, hey, so what'd you think of the draft? Oh, so you didn't watch the show on Thursday night and Friday and Saturday. Oh, I got you. I got you. They have 2 years left this year coming up and next season, and then real cap hell comes in 3 years from now. Yeah, but they're not supposed to say that because they're going to try to keep it open as long as they can, you know what I mean? But in all brutal honesty, you probably have 2 more flexible years left, this year and next year, and then it gets really hard for Brandon Shore, really hard. So we shall see. We shall see. If they were willing to bring a guy accused of rape, I think they don't care as long as Hill puts close to 2,000 yards. No, they do care. They do care. Because if you don't straighten yourself out, that's why they're going to part ways. So, you know, and that's you get your chance. Like they gave the chance to the UM running back, and that poor kid just wasn't there, and they got rid of him. They'll take chances on people, but they'll have a short leash. They won't tolerate it very long, and then they'll move on. And that's why even with Hill, as productive as he's been, they've only tolerated it for so long, and he's only going to end up being here 3 years, and they're going to move on. Because unfortunately, they've already proven it, like with different players. They'll give you a chance, but now you have to do your part. And if you don't do your part, eventually they will say, okay, you know, we got to move on. And that's it. Didn't Hill have that scene as Kevin Hart's comedy? Oh, yep. The scene at the comedy club that he didn't do anything. It was somebody else, but then his entourage got into a fight with the people. You're right. He was smart enough to walk away and no incident with him involved. But it seems to follow him. You know what I mean? Because he took somebody else's seat and all that. And it's like, and then it started some, and apparently the woman was the one that was supposedly starting it. But then his entourage is the one that ended up getting into a scuffle. Very good. It doesn't end. And again, folks, this is what we know. What about what you don't know? Sometimes there are people that know what you don't know. I wonder who those people are. So, you know, sometimes those people will have something juicy for you a year later. You know, nobody really told you that Wilkins was all pissed off in the building when he didn't get his contract last year, right? There was only one person that told you about Wilkins telling everybody in the building he wasn't happy about it. Do you remember who that was, Sean? I think he's pointing at me. I'm not exactly sure. Seems like it. When you go like that, does that mean you? Not sure. But we knew that a year before, and that's why we told you he was gone. What do we know now? Check in 365 days. You know, nobody knew that Flo didn't want Tua. Only one guy knew that Flo didn't want Tua. And only one guy knew that he wanted Jordan Love. But I couldn't say anything. You know, and kudos to Omar Kelly. He was the only media person that finally unearthed it. You know, because I could not say it because he was still around. So, sometimes you got to ask yourself, why is he saying that? Why is he so confident about that? What does he know that I don't? Anyway, so, God. Oh, man. Fact I gotta hold it for a year, it's just the worst. It's the worst. It really is the worst. God, so bad I gotta constantly hold these things. So it's like 3 years in a row that I have to hold us, you know. I gotta wait. I know, but I cannot say. It's just, you know, screwed up, man. Anyway. Thank you, Dr. Quit. Thank you, sir. Yes, the face is 35 pounds lighter, bro. That's kind of why we're trying to lose weight, man. We're trying to lose weight. It's not an easy thing. So we got 35 more to go. We got to lose 70 pounds. We're working on. By the way, yesterday, okay, I walked 1.9 miles. by the way, you smart asses, before y'all go, well, why didn't you just walk 2 miles? We have this part of our neighborhood that we had it measured already because we've walked before. And we know it's 1.9 exactly. And so I did what I, you know, the most I had walked was a third of a mile. But the last couple of days, my foot had felt really good. Like, you know, it's not like all the way back or anything yet, not even close. I won't be able to jog and run for another month and a half. So yesterday, I said to my wife, hey, let's go walk and I feel good. I want to see if I can, you know, walk a little farther than a third of a mile. And so I started walking, and at one point I had a back problem because my gait is still not flowing because I'm still kind of compensating. My mind is still kind of worried about the right foot and the Achilles and all that shit. And I'll show you, for those of you that don't know, let me show you. Let's see, where is it at? Some of you may have seen it. Some of you may have not seen it. Okay, so now, here we go. Wrong one. Damn it, I hit it again. Okay, so 4 months ago, I had ankle, foot, and Achilles surgery. So this is my foot when I took off the brace after 2 months, okay? I had this brace on for 2 months, all right? So my foot was trapped in there for 2 months, okay? The only time that I would shower with that stupid thing, I'd have to put this cover all over it and everything. And I would have, you know, my right leg would be, you know, like out from the shower, and I'm like, you know, whatever, and all that crap. So this is my foot. And then I had the surgery here. I had a bone spur. You see the middle toe, right? I had, there was a bone spur that was stabbing my middle, the tendon that runs to that toe, right? So it was freaking painful, dude. And then I had an Achilles issue. And so they had to extend my Achilles because I had a bone spur there and calcification built up, and it tightened my Achilles to the point that the doctor said I was 5 times more vulnerable to busting my Achilles. And dude, I don't want that at 57. I don't want to recover from a freaking Achilles surgery. So, you know, that's kind of the last thing I want. So that was 2 months ago. And then obviously I've had to then start to rehab and all that. And now I started to, you know, walk, and now I'm walking distance and all that. So I was able to walk 1.9 miles yesterday, nearly 2 miles yesterday. I was so happy, dude. I was like, because, you know, when you're stuck in a bed for 2 months, that's the worst, man. You can't do anything. You can't move. You can't do it. I mean, going to the bathroom was a mission, you know? And I was so out of shape that's what opened my eyes. I had to carry that fat ass brace around, and it gave me thigh and hip problems and pains. And then I was hopping around, and I'm at like 280. So then my left ankle was hurting because I was hopping on my left ankle. It was just like, and I said, enough of this shit. And so I lost some weight, lost 35 pounds. Now I got to lose 35 more and hopefully, you know, get through it. But now I can start to walk distances and build up a nice sweat, and I can start to build up my stamina again, because that's the other thing. When you're bedridden for 2 months, you lose stamina. Everything becomes a mission for 2 months, a little over. Yeah. About 2 months. I hated going downstairs to do anything, whatever I had to do to go downstairs. I tried to stay away from going downstairs. You know why? How do I go upstairs? on my ass and my arms lifting me each step because I couldn't go standing because I only had one foot. And then it's risky to try to hop steps all the way up because if you miss a hop, then I'm going to bust up the only good ankle I have and I can't do that. And so again, it's just like, my Lord, it was just, it was really frustrating. Really, really like it, it just F's with you mentally, you know, hurts, man. And so I was able to get through it and I like said, okay, well then let's lose weight. Let's do something while I'm doing this shit. And yesterday be able to walk 1.9 miles. Wow. What a blessing. That is a blessing, man. Blessing. So that was a lot of fun yesterday when I was able to do that. In the trenches says, good job. You're not up here saying you walk too. F everyone else, Big O. I've lost 20 pounds. Good for you, bro. Nice job. Do not Plato. Or are you talking about Plateau? Dana Plato? You don't want me to Dana Plato? Is that what it is, Cap for Life? Or you don't want me to Plateau? Because it's not spelled Plato. Oh, man. Damn, I know there was a funk coming out of that boot. Yeah, probably. That dried up iodine and all that shit. Yeah, that was nasty. That was nasty. Yeah. Foot looks better, much better now. Now it's nice and skinny, you know? So it's a lot different now, the foot, because you saw it was still swollen. Now it's thin and the scars are much better now and... You know, so it's actually pretty cool. That looks like a postman's foot after running from a chihuahua. Hey, only five toes. Yeah, what do you think I am? A Fonseca? Six toes, six fingers? You know, Antonio Fonseca is the only man in the history of the Marlins with a six-finger fastball. How about that? My dad had the surgery. He was fixed. He fixed a chandelier in the house a few years ago, fell off the ladder, hit his foot on the stairwell. It's the worst pain he ever had. Plus, he had to shave down the bone. It's painful. Yeah, dude. Yeah. So I wasn't going to F around. I went up on my ass up the stairs every time, just lifted myself. I wasn't going to try to get cute. Hopping down the stairs was easy. Hopping, boom, 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 one leg, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. I could hop down really quick. But then I was like, oh, my God, I got to go back up eventually. And whenever I had to go back, because the bedroom's upstairs, it was like, oh, God, I hated it, bro. I hated it. Your alignment is out of whack. You need to decompress your spine after you start running. I don't know how to do that, Cap for Life. You're getting a little ahead of me there. I dislocated my knee nearly 2 years ago. Rehab is a long process. Yep. Losing weight will help your foot recover. Yeah, no, the whole body, the joints, everything. It's less weight on them. Shit, I lost almost two Mahatma bags of rice, bro. That's a lot of weight. It's a lot of weight. Having a bunch of pain in my left Achilles, and I think it's from shooting jumpers like 2 months ago with my nephew at 51. Takes longer to recover. Now I'm being careful with everything I do. Yeah, you know, we all have to do too is we have to stretch. Before we do anything athletic, us older guys especially, we have to stretch, dude. We have to stretch. Plato, bro, keep pushing. Plateau, bro. E-A-U. T-E-A-U. Plateau. Big O, I drove for the Patriots, their semi trucks. I was 380 back in 2018. Now I'm 240. No surgery, just quit drinking soda, went vegan, toughest shit ever. Plus, I walk 3 miles a day. There you go. That's what you got to do, bro. You don't need the drug. I mean, listen, some people may need it because they have health issues. But most of us, if you stick if you stay away from the sugars, the breads, and you exercise, you'll be fine. You'll lose a shit ton of weight. You know? Let's see. Oscar Goldman would be proud. Steve Big O. Big O, stretching after is a key too during the cool down period. Exactly. Are you losing weight, Big O? Your face looks a lot thinner. Did you just tune in? Yes, I have lost 35 pounds. I've been losing weight for a couple of months now. So yes, I've lost 35 pounds and we're trying to lose 35 more. So I'm trying to get down to 210. I'm at 245 right now. I was at 280. So I'm trying to get down to 210. So that's what's going on. Wednesday will be at Caneswear. Okay. By the way, our thoughts and prayers go out to our friends in Oklahoma, Iowa, Nebraska, the Midwest, faced some brutal, scary ass tornadoes this weekend. Holy, that town of Sulphur, prayers, man. That is, my Lord, I can't imagine. That is scary stuff there too. Let's get to our 3A graphics sports calendar. And we start off with the Marlins because they know how to lose like no one else. They've lost 3 in a row to the Washington Nationals, I think 6 overall. They're 6-23. Jazz Chisholm did hit a grand slam yesterday. The funniest thing was the Marlins social media department. And they tweeted out in the first inning when they went up 6-0, they tweeted out hi with a 6-0 lead in the first inning. You are the Marlins. Know your place in the world. Shut up. When you do win a game, enjoy your game. You have nowhere to brag. You're not allowed to brag as Marlins. Just want you to know. So they end up losing 12-9 after giving up a 7-run lead. Today, they'll continue their set with the Nationals. We'll see if they can win the fourth game or avoid the four-game sweep. Jake Irvin, Trevor Rogers, 6:40. Saturday, Celtics over the Heat, 104-84. Game 4 tonight, 7:30. Kaseya, Heat, Celtics. Celtics favored by 10.5. Over and under is 203.5. Saturday, Lightning over the Panthers, 6-3. Tonight, it'll be game 5. As the Panthers are leading 3-1, and we'll see what happens. 7 o'clock faceoff, Panthers with a shot at eliminating Tampa Bay. I think they will. And, of course, Inter Miami, got to give them some love. They defeated New England 4-1. Started off 1-0 when they got Callender out of place there. But then Messi had 2 goals. He had a brace. He also had a beautiful assist to Suarez. Kramaski was also crafty, and he scored a goal too. Saturday, they take on the Red Bull at Chase Stadium, 7:30. That is your 3A Graphics sports calendar. Call Alan Blanco and the great people at 3A Graphics, 786-618-1443. Custom printing and embroidery. Tell them that Big O sent you. I promise you, they will take care of you. Ken Christensen says, Big O, thanks for all your work and effort to get the info to us. Much appreciated. We try, my brother. We try. Thank you for appreciating it. I don't know how many actually really do. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes it's just one of those things that you just like, you wonder if people appreciate it because there's so much crap out there. And sadly, people are believing a lot of that crap. And it's a real shame. It really is. By the way, Bitcoin right now, 62,985. Okay. And you can make a Bitcoin donation, Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O. Get you all out there. By the way, the Hong Kong ETFs, Bitcoin and Ethereum start off tomorrow on the 30th. That's going to be a little juice. Plus, Australia now is going to add their ETFs also. I don't know when they have. I haven't seen a date yet, but the Japan ETFs are coming. So stay strong, because you hear a lot of FUD out there, but it ain't gonna happen. Trust me, it's gonna pop, and it's gonna pop big. Let's do this. Let's give me a break here really quick. Give me a couple minutes. Rest the voice. I did do a whole bunch of shows. I know I don't do a lot of breaks during the throughout the hour. I only do a couple minutes at the top of the hour. So hang in there with me. Back for hour number three right here on the Big O Radio Show.